Hey everyone, you're listening to Superwomen. Today's guest is Sarah Dusick, the co-founder and CEO of Under Canvas. She is now in the venture capital world, but had a very successful company she sold after bootstrapping it. It is a fascinating story of drama and failure and storms in the desert, and now how she approaches and invests in up-and-coming people within South Africa. Take a listen. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Rebecca.
Where are you today? Because you have an accent, so I'm curious to where you live.
I'm actually in Cape Town in South Africa, but I am originally British.
Nice. I'm sure you're enjoying some warm weather. At least I hope you are, as I look out at the gray skies.
Yes, it's a beautiful summer's day here in Cape Town today.
So I was really intrigued when your team sent through your information. I checked out Under Canvas, which is an incredible camping experience provider. And I would love to kind of have you go back to what gave you that idea. And for those listening, Sarah sold this company over $1 million in 2018. So this is definitely an interview if you want to know how to learn and scale to listen to. But what got you excited about providing camping experiences?
Well, like many businesses, Under Canvas was born out of a pain point for my husband and I, and an inspiration from Montana, where he is from. And our pain point was a young man from Montana meets an English girl who has spent several years of her working life in Africa, but does not love roughing it. And so my Montana rugged man, who still loves to hunt fish and be out in the wilds, wanted his lovely, pristine English wife to be out in the wilds, and she was not having it. And so the idea crossed our minds from my time in Africa and the big, incredible wide open spaces in Montana. It was like, I wonder if the safari experience could be a good fit. Because obviously the safari experience is all about sleeping out into the stars and being out in nature, but at the same time having incredible comfortable beds, hot running water, nice showers, flushing toilets, beautiful food, this whole idea. And I was like, maybe this could be the good compromise between us. And so that was the birth of Under Canvas, really, and the idea of could we recreate the African safari experience and allow it for us together to enjoy the great outdoors in the States.
So I think you bring a unique view, or you brought a unique view to this, but this had to have been an extraordinary undertaking with regards to starting it, launching it, the costs involved. So how did you guys navigate that as you started the company?
Yeah, it was wild. And we really had no idea how to build a hotel, because really that's what Under Canvas is today. They're large scale tented resorts outside of national parks across the country. And we were not hoteliers and had limited business experience. Both my husband and I had worked in the aid sector before. And so we worked for NGOs before going into business. So it was an enormous undertaking, and we definitely learned everything the hard way. And we did not have a huge bank balance. In fact, we had a negative bank balance when we started with our business idea. So we were definitely not rolling in cash with like throwing lots of money at the problem. We had to figure out how to do almost everything ourselves. But in some ways, that was part of the beauty of creating something really unique, having to be really thrifty with how you did it and how we did it. And trying to recreate an experience that not only we would like, but someone else would like. But it was definitely rough.
How long was it rough, and how did you get funding to grow and scale it? Because I know it's not easy. And then you're doing something that has so much of a physical asset, whereas I feel like today the things that get funded are apps and platforms and technology.
Yes, I heard that a lot. I heard, we're not a tech company. We don't fund anything that's not a tech company. And I was like, yes, I'm creating a whole new industry. I am building the glamping industry in the United States. And they were like, yeah, you're not tech. It's not scalable. I was like, I know this is scalable and I know this is a thing. So it was pretty much rough, my entire 10-year journey of growing and scaling and being the CEO of Under Canvas. So it was hard, and creating new things from scratch is hard, and doing things that people have never done before is really challenging. And I heard no 99% of the time. People didn't believe me that I had a thing. People didn't believe that I could make money doing what we were doing. I didn't think I could scale, and I did. And so it was, I don't know that there was a time where it was ever not rough.
So I think that's a misconception amongst many entrepreneurs that it gets
yes,
easier.
Yes, if you get to this point where you suddenly hit the slipstream and then it's all easy and, you know, everything just works. And that really is a facade, because you just hit more problems, and you just, you know, when as you scale and you grow, you just hit different challenges. And so I don't think it really ever becomes easy. And anyone who thinks scaling and growing a multi-million dollar business is easy is just not. And anytime you're doing anything with people and building teams and things that require cash and customers, there's always complexity, and there's always challenge, and there's always figuring new things out. And my husband and I used to say, you do get lulls in between sort of the vertical climbs. But those lulls don't ever last very long, because, you know, you summit one mountain and you realize, oh, there's a much bigger one behind it. And how are you going to climb that? And so it's a challenging journey building something great.
So what did you do when you got denied? How did you keep going? How did you fund it in an environment that's denying you?
Yeah, I cried a lot. I think I still, even now, actually, which may surprise some people, but I'm still trying to do things today that people want to say no about and don't believe me that they're a thing, even with, you know, a small amount of success under my belt. I still find hearing no from other people and people not believing me hard to bear. But I think having other people alongside you, my husband is my life partner and my business partner, and he's an amazing cheerleader and encourager, and he can't do what I can do, and I can't do what he can do. But when I hit rock bottom, he is very good at picking me up and saying, let's just tackle this problem in a different way. Let's go at it from a different angle. Let's think about how we do this differently. And that's been true recently in our new business endeavors and with Under Canvas. And we were thinking about, all right, so we're getting no from venture capitalists. So maybe that's not the right type of funding for us to go after. Maybe we've got to think more creatively about who the right financial partners might be for us, and how could we structure a deal differently than, you know, maybe a traditional venture deal. And so every time we heard a no, we had to get creative. And creativity is the outcome of no's in my world, really. And actually, that is the best thing that could ever happen to a business, is that you can turn your negatives into very creative solutions. And when you do that over and over and over again, you can build something truly extraordinary.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I love that. You know, I think sometimes people view these barriers as like signs that it's a no. But that's the moment where you dig your heels in and you're like, all right, time to get real creative. And I think that's how we grew our business too. We had to get creative because we didn't have money.
Yes.
To grow.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
So at what point in your time doing this, did you go, like, when did it turn around? When did you go, okay, this is working, now we can build this? And then to the acquisition.
Yes. So we started in 2009. We didn't hit our sort of what we now call our hero product, which is Under Canvas as the world knows it today, where we've got large scale resorts outside of national parks, until 2012. So we were 3 years in with various different versions of our business model, none of which were particularly wildly successful, none of which made any money. And so it wasn't until 2012. So we're 3 years in with a huge amount of credit card debt and a huge amount of tents, not really a business model that was working. And so 2012.
And how far was this when it wasn't working?
3 years.
Three years. Okay.
Yeah, 3 years. So it took us 3 years to figure out our magic formula, if you like. And then we realized, okay, I think we've really got something with this idea, and we could do more of this idea. We could refine this idea, and this could work. And so we doubled down on ourselves and our credit cards, and friends and family helped us navigate through those very stressful sort of early years. And from there, we didn't get any institutional funding until 2017. So we went another 5 years.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Just on credit cards.
Credit cards. And we finally, before 2017, we managed to find a local community bank that would give us a little bit of debt for buying equipment, and who would accept that tents could be collateral. So, so it was really hard. It was really, really tough.
Wow. That is so impressive that you went that long. And then in 2017, that's when you had the big exit, or that was in 2018?
2018. Yeah. So that was fairly extraordinary, really. We took our first round of institutional capital, and we took on board about $17 million that year in 2017.
And how did you convince that person? Like, okay, now we'll get money.
Yeah, by that time, we were obviously doing a fairly reasonable amount of revenue. We had positive EBITDA. We had a very solid business plan. We were growing and scaling. And, you know, we had a great business model that we knew could be really scaled. And so by that point, it was much easier for someone to buy in. And then we were starting to see competitors coming into the space. So that was really the impetus for we need to do more here, and really figure out getting some serious capital into the business. And then, of course, 2018 rolled around, and we were very sizable, established business by that point, with still lots of room for growing and scaling. But finally, people taking us seriously that we were a thing.
Did you ever have your pretty woman moment?
To keep it really real, the day we closed our transaction, when I put the phone down on the transaction, I burst into tears with all the emotion of, you know, it's done, it's happened, I got it over the finish line, this is really unbelievable. And then I went home to celebrate. I have two boys and a husband, obviously, and I went home that evening ready to celebrate. It was just before Christmas, ready to have the best Christmas of our lives. And I had two children at home vomiting their guts up. And we spent the next 2 weeks with norovirus, and it went through the whole family and extended family who came to visit for Christmas. And I think there was barely a day in those next 2 weeks where somebody wasn't throwing up.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was like, we'll just keep this really real, and we'll go back to work after the Christmas holidays and carry on.
Oh my goodness. Sometimes it's, yeah, I, as a mom of three, I often feel the want to celebrate, kids are vomiting and diarrhea, and yes. There's nothing you can do about it. That's your celebration.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like the universe saying, don't get ahead of yourself, lady. You know,
exactly. We're exactly.
Just, you know, you're still a mom and nothing's changed. And this is your first job and the most important job that you do.
Totally. So you sold the company and then you said, I'm not done working. I'm not retiring into the sunset. You started Enigma Venture, or you became a partner at Enigma Venture. So can you explain a little bit how that went and what was your interest there?
Yes. I mean, really, the desire to start Enigma Ventures, which is a venture capital fund, came about because of my own frustrations of raising capital and how hard it was for me, and realizing I didn't know how to play the game. I didn't know how it really worked. I learned along the way and figured it out, obviously, because I managed to sell my company. But I really realized that there was not a lot of people supporting early stage women and helping women, A, get access to capital, and B, position themselves well to be in the system and to be building and scaling and growing great companies. Mm-hmm. And so I really realized if this was going to happen for women, that more women who've had exits or have learned the system or have been in the system help other women get a seat at the table too. Because I fundamentally believe that if women have access to wealth and creating wealth and are builders in society in terms of building, you know, the future for all of us, that the world will look a very different place if women sit at the table. And women have leadership roles and responsibilities and lead us into the future. And so I realized, okay, this is what I've got to do next. And we've got to double down again and reinvest ourselves and our capital back into supporting other women to grow and scale businesses. And with my previous life in Africa, we realized that potentially our dollars and our effort and our time could go further by investing in female entrepreneurs in Africa. So that is what my day job now is. I'm investing and supporting female entrepreneurs to grow and scale their businesses.
And you moved to Cape Town after being in the US.
Yes. Yes, we did. We picked our family up and we came on down to Cape Town.
Wow. Okay. So clearly, you've taken your experience, which probably forever changed you, hearing all those no's. What are some of the incredible stories you can share in our 9 minutes left, or even one story of women that you've invested in that has changed their trajectory and their companies?
Yeah, it's been super exciting. We started investing at the beginning of 2020, which was obviously the beginning of a very challenging period of time and very challenging for businesses to be doing business during the pandemic. But we realized, well, you know, if you can make it during a pandemic, you probably can make it. So let's try and make some good bets on some amazing women and carry on and see what we can do. So we've made 11 investments over the course of the last sort of 18, 20 months. And I could wax lyrical about some of the amazing companies that we invested in. Two that spring to mind. We have one incredible woman in Eswatini, which is a tiny country, used to be called Swaziland, that borders South Africa. And she has an incredible, sustainable, eco-friendly chili sauce company. It's also selling in the US now.
It's, what is it? A jelly sauce? Chili sauce. Okay.
She's called Black Mamba. And you can find her at blackmamba.com. And she is, she has a farm to table approach where she's got local women growing her chilies. Her chilies are then manufactured into an amazingly incredible chili sauce. And then she has this incredible brand that she's selling her product under. So that's her literally changing thousands of people's lives every single day with a bottle of chili sauce. And we've got another amazing woman in Zambia creating a digital bank for unbanked people in Southern Africa, focused on Zambia first, but beyond also, and literally creating access to credit and opportunities for starting small businesses in Zambia, which has just also been incredible with seeing that grow. And she did, in her first year of business, she did over $1 million of revenue in her first year.
Wow.
So she's, and just creating access to capital and putting capital into a space where no one else is putting capital, you know, typically reaching an unbanked person. So it's really, really extraordinary opportunities and ability to drive impact and change and create access and opportunities for women in all sorts of different ways.
I love it. That's so incredible. Are you you know, as my listeners are probably going to get excited and you'll get inundated with Invest in Me, are you primarily focused in South Africa as far as funding?
I'm in Southern Africa. So we will invest in women anywhere across Southern Africa. Yes.
Wow. That's incredible. What an amazing feat to go from where you were to now being able to affect and, you know, grow these companies in an often probably forgotten part of the world, I would say.
It feels like an enormous privilege and an enormous learning curve all at the same time. So that's the beauty of entrepreneurship, really, and getting stuck in and deciding you're going to try and solve a problem. It's, you know, the joy and the challenge of learning new things and pioneering new pathways is always hard, but it's always super fun at the same time.
So what would you say was one of the most bleak moments in your career, whether it was under Canvas or, you know, at Enigma? And what did you do to get out of it or overcome it or not?
There was a terrible incident back in my under Canvas days in our first year of operating our first camp in Yellowstone. And it was the year we finally thought, this is it. We finally got the, you know, we think this is a thing. We think having tented hotels like this could really work. This could really be an amazing company. And of course, it was before we'd figured anything out. And we didn't have all our systems down and our product wasn't perfect. And it was chaotic, to say the least. And in one afternoon, a huge storm rolled through West Yellowstone, where our camp was and still is today. And it knocked, it was like a hurricane came through. It wasn't that bad, obviously, but it was a massive storm. And it flattened the camp, it broke lots of poles, tents were down. It was carnage. It was awful. And I remember none of our guests were in the tent at the time. We had evacuated all our guests. Everyone was safe. But I remember coming out after the storm and just looking at everything and thinking, this is it. We're done. No one will ever stay with us ever again. The dream that we had, that we thought we'd finally, you know, this is going to be a thing. It's over. There's no hope here whatsoever. And I stood there and I looked at it and I cried, and my husband wasn't there at the time. So I called my husband and said, we are done. This is not going to work. This is over. It's finished. We can't possibly do this anymore. No one will stay with us. No one will trust us. And he said, okay, I'm done too. I'm ready to be done too. This is really hard. Just take care of the kids and I'll come and we'll pack it all up and we'll be finished. And I said, okay, all right, it's over. I turned to an employee of mine and he said, it's not that bad. We can sort this out. We can get back up from this. And I just looked wide-eyed at him and said, there's no way. It's not possible. And he said, sure, we can do it. We can definitely do this. And I was like, I don't think so. Anyway, he rallied our neighbors. He rallied our guests. He rallied me and said, look, let's start putting it all back together. We can do this. And by 11 o'clock that night, we had everyone back in their beds, and not one guest had a refund, and everybody completely rallied through the experience and was happy and contented. And it was such a lesson for me, because I was looking for an out. I was exhausted. I was tired. This terrible thing had happened to us. And it was like, I could be done. This is too much. This is too hard. And here's a really good excuse. And it was like, my team would not let me give up. And there are so many times in entrepreneurships where you do feel like you're done. It's over. One too many things happen and you just think, I can't handle this anymore. This is really too hard. And then some bright light of a moment or someone will stand alongside you and say, no, you can. You just have to keep getting up. And I think has been the biggest lesson over the last 15 years that I've been in business now, with like, things will come, pandemics will come, terrible situations will come, recessions will come, horrible things will come at your business. It's just par for the course, but it's like, can you keep getting back up? And mm-hmm. can you get knocked down, but get back up again and get back up stronger? And in that scenario, we rebuilt our camp. We figured out how to look after our guests better. We figured out how to strengthen the tents. Our tents now can hold up to 150 mile an hour winds and don't get blown over in storms. And so, you know, it made us better ultimately. But it was really hard at the time. And I think that's one of the key ingredients of a successful business. Do hard times, do difficulties make you more creative and make you better and stronger? And can you get back up after them? Because if you can, you can succeed. You can take on the world. You can do anything.
I love that you say that. I say that all the time. Sometimes I think I sound like a broken record. And even in my book, I say, sometimes our success was just determined by the fact that we weren't better or smarter. We just got back up,
yes. you know,
and other yes. people didn't. So that paved the way for us to take more market share. So I love that you discovered that. It's been so nice to talk to you today. Thank you for coming on. I'm sorry about our technical difficulties.
we persevered, Rebecca. We did. We carried on.
Where can people find out more about Enigma if they're in Southern South Africa? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, anywhere in Africa you can find us. Well, anywhere in the world you can find us. We're on enigmaventures.com, and Enigma with a Y, E-N-Y-G-M-A, enigmaventures.com. Head on over there and you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.